I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Hello, friends. I'm Silva Harapetian. Thank you for joining us for another conversation. And I've been doing these interviews during COVID-19 lockdown. They've been quite heavy at times. We've talked about anxiety. We've talked about finances. We've talked about business and relationships. And today, we need to talk about something that's really important, our mental health and well-being. And no, I don't have some heavy subject to talk about. Today, we're going to talk about how important it is to really have a sense of humor. And there is one man who can help us do that, who's been doing that for years, an all-round entertainer, Kev Orkian. Thank you so much for joining me from the UK. I love seeing your face and hearing your voice every single time we connect and I see you online. And I'm going to be honest with you. I met Kev about 20 years now?
Gotta be.
About 20 years ago when he...
We were only 10 years old.
I like that. You could come on the show anytime you want. I love that. So I think you were performing at the Armenian Music Awards, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah, that was 20 years ago now, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you were performing or hosting. We were doing something. Anyway, we were at the same place working on the same project. It was the beginning of my career, and you were well on your way. I mean, you were very well known in the household name. He is joining us from the UK. I don't know if I said that already, but the reason we are reconnecting is because I was flipping the channels the other day and looking on social media, and pops up this familiar face that I know, who is the host of Armenia Uncovered, this documentary about Armenia that is now available on Prime, Amazon, in the UK and the US. And the very first thing I did was I watched it. And I have to tell you a story. I watched it with my three nieces, Athena and Aaliyah, and they love you. Athena's 8, Aaliyah's 5. Since then, they have asked to watch the show again and again and again. And again,
I love them.
So there's obviously something about your spirit and who you are that also comes across on the television screen that speaks to people of all ages. And if you're Armenian, you have known about Kev and you know about his sense of humor. Talk to me a little bit about how you're doing during these challenging times. And then I want to talk about some of the projects you're working on.
Well, it has been challenging times, to be honest with you. But I just want to start by saying, since the lockdown in the UK, which kicked off kind of end of February, beginning of March, mm-hmm. it's been a very, very, very weird scenario here in the UK, because it became apocalyptic overnight. So offices just emptied. Roads just emptied, restaurants emptied, train stations were non-existent, trains were not working, buses were empty. It just went from one to the other, like suddenly, like it was insane. And when it kicked in, we decided as a family that we would, my mother-in-law, who's she has quite a bad case of anxiety, actually. She suffers incredibly bad. So she said, I don't want to live on my own in lockdown. Wow. Can I, you guys? So she came and moved in with us for nearly 3 months. So I was living with my mother-in-law, which was great.
How great was it, really? How great?
I'm kidding. It was great. She's a really nice lady. I really get on well with her. And it was good fun. It was really good fun. But what I didn't want to do, and I think where people forget... Yeah, and not due to selfishness, but just due to naivety, probably more than anything else, is that actually we understand what's going on, even though we probably don't understand. We still accept that COVID-19 is a serious issue. It's a virus. It kills people. And we need to care for others as much as our own safety. Mm-hmm. But we forget about the children. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know why suddenly school has stopped and they can't see their friends anymore. And I've got, obviously, as you know, 6-year-old twins, because God hates me. So I got to the point where I was like, how are we going to keep this from them? And I decided not to keep it from them.
Yeah, you
I decided
can't, you to can't explain, do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I decided to explain to them that, you know, it's a serious virus. It kills people because people can be, you know, have underlying health issues. It can be a number of things.
Yeah.
And social distancing is one thing we need to do. Cleaning our hands, washing our hands every day is something we need to do after every time we go out. And believe it or not, because I treated it as a game and as a kind of an adventure, my sons adopted it like that.
Yeah.
And to the point where we would be walking out on the street, like I'd take one of my sons to get some fresh air, walking my dog, and he'd see two people walking together, and they'd stop and talk to a third person, and he would stop. He would stop me and go, "Daddy, don't go near them, because they're not social distancing."
Yeah.
So he got it. He immediately got it. So, yeah, it's been crazy, to be honest with you.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the kids. I think it's just so poignant about talking about the kids, because I've spent a lot of time with my nieces since I've been here during COVID-19, and we had to sort of have this conversation with them as well, and did turn it into a game. In fact, we put a scorecard in the bathroom for every time they wash their hands, they get a point. And then after a certain amount of points, they get a present. It's just a reminder of what they're supposed to do. But interestingly, having these conversations where the 8-year-old's like, well, this is kind of not fair because I don't get to finish the school year with my friends. And Aaliyah doesn't get to finish the school year with her friends. And she doesn't get to experience what it's like to finish pre-K and go into kindergarten. And this is not fair at all. How is this fair to any of us? Like, that's a really poignant question for an 8-year-old to ask, and it's hard to have these conversations, but being able to sort of compare the price you pay for not being careful, for not paying attention to it, versus what you have to give up, and also what you gain out of it. So then, you know, we're talking about, look at all the stuff you've been able to do since you've been home. You've learned how to work on the computer, you've learned how to doodle, you've watched a whole bunch of videos, you've done lots of ashkatank with your hands, you know, you've done all of these things that you've been able to do that you wouldn't have been able to do in school. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that's a conversation that is really important to have. I don't have kids, but it's certainly being around them. It's really opened my eyes to how difficult it must be for them. So therefore, I'm an adult, so I should be able to digest it a little bit better.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think you know, a lot of children are asking questions, and particularly our boys, you know, have been very curious about why they can't see their friends and this and that. But now that the social distancing has, you know, it's come down for us, but it's now a meter, you know, and we can now see certain people in our bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I've also kind of now arranged an outdoor picnic and kids' cinema in our local park.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so we set it all up, and we get families to come down, because a lot of mums and dads are struggling with anxiety, frustration, and, you know, a lot of them, I hate to say it, have aged. Because they've had their children in the house for like 4 or 5 months, you know, and they look terrible.
Yeah.
So you can't. We need to help you, you know. Yeah. And I've had moments with my sons. I mean, homeschooling. Homeschooling has been a nightmare.
I think the phone just gave us an idea of what homeschooling has been for all of us, including you. So, you know, one thing that I have been talking to a lot of my friends about, and those of us who are in the creative space, this hasn't really been that big of it's a big deal, don't get me wrong, but it's the type of circumstance that we thrive in. We thrive in silence and sitting still and allowing our creativity to take a hold. And actually, this is how ideas come. This is how we produce. This is how we write. This is how we create. So I love that you have been able to get two of your shows on Amazon. I can't wait until Illegal Tour, which I want to ask you about, becomes available in the US. It's only available in the UK. For those of you in the UK and in the US, if you haven't seen Armenia Uncovered, go take a look, watch it. It was shot in 2018, but very relevant even today. If you don't know about Armenia or the Armenian culture or the Armenian people, and I think the Armenians in particular are going to get a kick out of it, because what I loved were the inside jokes and the innuendos that only Armenians understand, that is probably going to go over a lot of people's heads, but it was so relevant and important and awesome to feel and see you actually not shy away from them, but also just lean into them, even though it's an American show. Talk to me a little bit about that.
You know what? It was such a fun thing to do. Obviously, it was a passion project that me and Andy had originally kind of teamed up to do. And unfortunately, when we got together and we filmed the sizzle, we didn't get much excitement from crowdfunding, which is where we needed the finances to go and do it. And a very close friend of mine called Alice, who I grew up in Armenian school with in the UK, touched base with me on Facebook and said, "Look, Kev, you've stopped writing about Armenia Uncovered. What's going on?" I said, "Well, we couldn't get the funding. So unfortunately, we're having to work hard. We're going to try and put our money together and we're going to see if we can go out and do it ourselves." And she said, stop. She said, "Let me just introduce you to my husband and let's talk." So we had a 3-4-way conversation with me, Andy, Rafi, the producer, and executive producer Alice. And we spoke about the whole project. And Alice turned around and said to Rafi, "We have to do this." So Rafi turned around and said, "Look, what do you need financially?" And we said, "We need this much money." And he said, "It'll be in your account tomorrow morning." And it was.
Wow.
It was in our account. And we were blessed to book the flights, book the crew, and book our tour guides and our team in Armenia as well. And we went out and we filmed the whole thing in 13 days.
Wow. Love that story. And of course, you know, you're done, you film it, you're hopeful that it's going to be a project that is going to resonate at least with the Armenians, if not other immigrants. And then what happens?
Armenia Uncovered 2 and Armenia Uncovered 3. We're already preparing for those.
Wow.
We've got the ideas already in plan. I was at the producer's house, an executive producer's house, the husband and wife, and I was at their house on Saturday night. And we had a big interview that I had to do for another Armenian charity. So I did that. And then we spoke about the project and where we're going to go. And we're talking four major things that we want to cover. But at the moment, we're not releasing any information on it simply because we don't know how much of this is going to backfire. And I say backfire in all seriousness. Amazon released the Armenia Uncovered documentary a day after the Azeris started to basically attack the Armenians.
Yeah.
And our biggest fear at the moment is that the Azeris, which they've already done, by the way, to a number of other Armenian charities and associations, are basically hacking and attacking the content that is around. So we are worried they won't, sorry, we're not worried they'll attack Amazon because that won't happen. But what we are worried about is the fact that they will review the movie as, you know, one star, terrible movie, horrible this, that, whatever, and they'll do that on Amazon, which is why we're saying to everyone, if you are watching Amazon, Armenia Uncovered on Amazon, please review it because that helps us get it up there so that non-Armenians see this documentary and then base it to the world. That's what we're asking people to do. So that's kind
of where we are. For a lot of people who are in the media industry or want to be in the media industry or are in the creative industry, you know, I mean, the one thing they always want to know is how do you get a show on Prime or on Amazon or on Netflix? So tell me how that came about, because I feel like there's a story behind every story.
Totally. We actually, the original plan was to go to Netflix, and we spent nearly 4 months just trying to even get some kind of a response. And it was very difficult. So we said, look, people need to know this movie. People need to see this movie. So in March of this year, we set up a Amazon Prime account and we uploaded the movie. And the movie's not just available in the UK and the US. We have uploaded it to 14 different countries, but Amazon are releasing them as and when, basically. So it's in the UK and the US now. It will be in Canada and Australia. Germany, Spain, Italy, France, you know, it's going to different countries around the world. So ultimately, everyone will get to see it at some point.
Yeah.
But we uploaded it and then we never heard from them either. So we were like, what's going on? They said, well, due to COVID-19, our success rate is now much slower than it was, so you'll have just have to be patient and wait for the movie to be released. So we were so desperate, because Ruffy worked so hard to get the subtitles for all the different countries and this and that and whatever, and we had to edit the movie down as well, because originally the original cut was 4.5 hours long.
Wow.
Yeah, so we edited it down to just 1 hour and 16 minutes.
Oh, that's so, as a content creator, that hurts my soul. That hurts so much.
Yeah, and it hurts us too, because we've got our interview, I think one of the stories, our interview with Charles Aznavour was second to none. It truly was.
Yeah.
Because his team said, he'll only give you 45 minutes, so you've got to be spot on. Get it right. Get it done. I said, okay. And lo and behold, he arrived, and he looked fantastic.
He did.
We went to Paris, to a wonderful boutique hotel, and we were in the room, and everything was set up, ready to go. He arrived, he had makeup, certain TV makeup done, and he had his hair cut as well, and he sat down, and we did the interview, and he found out I and Andy, Simon, were, and the producer were Armenian. He gave us 2.5 hours of content. And I've got material on there that I don't think any documentary or any interview ever has heard Charles Aznavour say anything about.
Wow. Wow, Kev, I got goosebumps. That is powerful.
His story's about, the one that actually blew my... He told me a story about Frank Sinatra. That was mind-boggling. But the best story he told me was Ray Charles, and the story about... how Ray Charles actually ended up with an Armenian girl who had his baby, who then ended up taking them both to Los Angeles, and now Ray Charles' son, who's half Armenian, is a music producer in LA.
I didn't know that.
Nor did I.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Charles Aznavour died, now, this is God's honest truth. I'm going to have to take it with me so you can see it.
Yeah.
This is God's honest truth. I have in here, in my drawer, hold on. Okay. You won't guess what it is. But that is a plastic bag with Charles Aznavour's hair that I picked up when he had a haircut at the interview.
Oh, my goodness.
So officially got the only DNA. Sorry, let me just set my thumb off the camera. I've officially got the only DNA of Charles Aznavour in the world.
Wow. That is, I love doing interviews like this because you get the real story behind the story of what went on, the things that you don't see. I watched a documentary and I was like, wow, I can't believe they were able to cut that down to 1 hour, because I know the places you went and the things you saw along the way, there was a lot of content. But to cut it down to 1 hour was... But still, it's still there. It's available. And I love that it gives you the option to do all kinds of things with the rest of the content, and that you're working on number 2 and number 3. So for everyone watching... First thing you need to do is go watch Armenia Uncovered, and then leave a review. That's important,
please,
which is something
yeah,
I didn't know, and I'm going to do that for you. And I'm going to make sure everybody who watches it does as well. Tell me a little bit about the other show you have. It's called Illegal Tour UK?
Yeah, the Illegal Tour was filmed here in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was filmed in 2018. And it involves my entire stand-up comedy show, which is about, that particular one I think was about 1.5 hours. It was a 90-minute show. And it was basically all the best bits of my stand-up comedy that I filmed in front of a full house audience in Milton Keynes. And then it became a DVD. And lo and behold, I'm just showing you now. And now I'm actually, people are buying the signed copies of the DVD. So I'm sending out a shed load of those out around the world. But it's just great fun. It's just my stand-up comedy show that I did, which I've been doing for probably about 5, maybe 6 years, this particular act.
Yeah. So you're very funny. You know that, right?
I try.
I'm Silvahara Petyan. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.